newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York. This is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. My guest today is Liesl, which is the nom de disc of the singer and composer Eliza Bagg. Eliza has worked in the rock field, leading the band Pavo Pavo, and in contemporary classical music, where she has sung as a member of the Grammy-winning vocal octet called Room Full of Teeth, also singing medieval and modern music in a trio called, appropriately, Medieval Modern, and many, many other projects. But as Liesl, Eliza has put out an album called Patterns for Auto-Tuned Voices and Delay, which seems somehow to synthesize all these different musical streams. We're going to hear some live performances from Eliza Bagg, Liesl, here in our studio, beginning the way the record does with Intro and One at a Time. That is music by Liesl, live here in our studio. The intro, and then One at a Time from the new album by Liesl called Patterns for Auto-Tuned Voices and Delay. Liesl is the work of singer-composer Eliza Bagg, back in our studio after a number of years, but with a very different project, Eliza. The Liesl music tends to be what? A kind of combination of your classical singing and modern hyper-pop technology?
Yeah, I mean, basically the concept, especially for this album, was that I would be sort of bringing together a lot of the work that I do as a classical singer, which is both in early music, mm-hmm. so like Renaissance, medieval, Baroque, and then also in new music, and working with a lot of composers who sort of exist in the minimalist, post-minimalist space. So, and I wanted to combine those sort of singing techniques with the technology that is available to us, you know, electronic processing and vocal processing.
Right. Now, when Auto-Tune came out, it was seen as basically a pitch correction device. Now, I've heard you sing enough challenging contemporary classical music to know that pitch is not an issue. So what do you use Auto-Tune for?
Well, right. I mean, it's actually interesting because particularly in the music that I do, there's a huge premium placed on intonation and clarity of sound, because I do a lot of things where I sing straight tone, and it's really important that the pitch center is, in fact, extremely clear and extremely pure. And so I actually think it's really interesting using that kind of singing and combining it with this electronic processing tool. I think it creates sort of a weird, new, uncanny sound that sort of exists like somewhere between a familiar human sound and something that's just slightly different in a way that I find really interesting and compelling. To me, I think the idea is I don't see Auto-Tune as a way to sort of robotize or make my voice less human. I actually am interested in the ways in which the Auto-Tune brings out expressive qualities and maybe even human qualities in the voice that are just new and different, not necessarily sort of less than or compromised.
So, Patterns for Auto-Tuned Voices and Delay. You mentioned some of the, you know, sort of quote-unquote post-minimalist composers, people like, you know, Meredith Monk, Caroline Shaw, who often have patterns sort of woven into the fabric of their music, as you do in Baroque music.
Totally. Yes. A huge impulse behind this album, actually, was that, you know, I started writing it sort of in 2021, but for most of 2020, when we were all going through what we were going through, I spent most of my time listening to Renaissance masses. So like the masses of like Victoria and Tallis and Byrd. And they're built on a lot of patterns, a lot of repetitive gestures, and just really interesting polyphonic writing. So I think that was a big impulse behind this album too, is as the song develops, have it become sort of a more polyphonic piece the idea is like in the style of these Renaissance masses.
So when you're doing this kind of layering and delaying of your voice, anything with a text becomes super challenging.
Right.
So One at a Time, you got four one-syllable words.
Yeah.
That works.
Right.
There's a track on the record called Wingspan where you have to really dial back on the processing, right? So that
yes.
we understand what the text is.
Yes, Wingspan is one of the only songs on the album that has like lyrics, basically.
Right, right.
God, is it the only song? That's
I think it is.
Yeah, it is. Wow. Okay. yes, that is the most song-like of all the songs. But the background for the text is built out of a repeated gesture that's just like a ooh, just like a very simple arpeggio that forms the sort of bed that the text sits into. But yeah, everything else is just mostly wordless.
Stretch out. Try to bring the wingspan on the way. Ooh.
Another thing I was just really interested in exploring, because I do a lot of, in sort of more in the minimalist space, I do a lot of, you know, Steve Reich, Phil Glass, these composers are interested in using the voice as an instrument and not, you know, minimizing the voice to a sound, but as an instrument, how can it be expressive when text isn't involved?
The album's called Patterns for Auto-Tuned Voices and Delay, some of which Eliza is doing here in our studio. There are other sounds other than purely vocal ones on this record.
Yes, there are.
Where do those come from?
So, yes, I have a number of synths that I use. Primarily, I have a Moog Sub-37 that forms a lot of the sounds. And then there's, just a Juno 106. Just those are sort of the synths that are in my studio that I rely on most heavily. And then I also collaborated on this album. My friend Zubin Hensler sort of added some additional instruments and did the final mixing. And he played some trumpets on some songs. So there are a few other instruments. Certainly, like, as I was saying before, the focus was on having the voice be the primary compositional element. But yeah, just filling it out with these things. Oh, and then also there is some percussion programming as well.
Right.
In
the song One at a Time, the first of the live things you did for us, it sets up. You hear the voice. You hear the reiterations, the layering and stuff, and then that synth bass comes in.
Yeah,
and it's really like you were talking about the Renaissance composers, you know, William Byrd, Thomas Tallis, people like that. It's like there are moments in their music where suddenly you get this sense of edifice, architecture, you know?
Yes, I really do know.
And that seems to be what we get when that synth bass comes in.
Totally. My emotional attachment to Renaissance polyphony is really cannot be overstated. I mean, I walked around the hills of Los Angeles listening to Victoria Masses for hours, and there are so many moments like that where the bass comes in, and it's like I think I wanted to replicate just the feeling of voices coming together.
EDM kids think they invented the bass drop,
right?
But, you know, that was around 300-400 years ago.
Yeah, they got that.
but there are elements of, you know, electronic dance music. There are echoes of it. There's percussion programming and stuff in some of the tracks. The one you're going to do next, called Immature, on the record at least, I assume it'll be somewhat similar here, it uses a kind of hocket effect, which is very common in medieval music.
Yes, that was another thing I was thinking about.
For folks who don't know the term.
Oh, right, yes. Okay, a hocket is basically a composite rhythm that's created out of two voices singing their own rhythm, and then it comes together to form an overall pattern.
Right. So if you sang ha, and I sang p, and you sang birth,
ha,
and I sang day,
right,
between us we could do except I couldn't do it. You probably could do it in your sleep, but we could sing happy birthday in hocket that way.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And that's used in early music and also a lot in many contemporary composers,
sure,
like Meredith Monk, huge hocket,
yes,
huge hocket person. So love her hockets. Yeah, so that was a big influence for sure. This one is what I like about the way the voices fit together to create a composite rhythm in Immature is that it feels really unstable at first. Like, I think the idea is that you can't quite place where the beat is. And actually, I made a music video for this where we were supposed to be walking on the beat. And it actually was a moment for me, because the difficulty with which the dancers had trouble finding the beat, I was like, I guess the beat is really difficult to find. But anyways, yes, the beat is really unstable, but then when the actual percussion comes in, it kind of recontextualizes and relocates, and then you have this sort of metric-like displacement moment where you're like, oh, and of course it always was on a beat, but I just wasn't able to hear that until now, but yeah.
All right, well, let's hear Immature, a track from Liesl's new album called Patterns for Auto-Tuned Voices and Delay. Once again, Liesl, the work of the singer and composer Eliza Bagg. This, a live performance here in our studio.
Oh.
Once again, a live performance by Liesl, the work of Eliza Bagg singing and playing her gizmos here in the studio. The album is called Patterns for Auto-Tuned Voices and Delay. That track is called Immature. And there's a couple of kind of hidden ones in that piece. You know, you're talking about finding the beat before.
I'm telling you, I did this. I made this music video with very accomplished dancers, and I was like, I can't believe how complicated this. I was surprised myself.
Eliza, it took me a little while to introduce you at the top of the show because you've just done so many things, you know, playing contemporary music with Room Full of Teeth and John Zorn and Ellis Ludwig Leone, doing medieval music, the pop stuff that you've done with the band Pavo Pavo.
Yes.
And on your own as Liesl. So I guess my question is just how bi or trifurcated are these musical personalities for you?
You know, it's interesting. I think when I was younger, I used to feel like they were more separate. I think I felt a lot more like I was sort of code switching or like going back and forth between different unrelated worlds. And one of the sort of joys of moving more into my career and into myself has been feeling that actually these things can be more related than I maybe thought they were. And you know, it's not, I don't just love like Cocteau Twins and like Charlie XCX. It's like, I also, you know, I love Victoria and I love Meredith Monk and I wanted to mix those languages together a little bit more, which was kind of the idea of this album.
Right. So Liesl, the hyperpop, you know, can also be Eliza Bagg, the Renaissance and medieval and contemporary classical singer. And there are moments on the record where it reminds me of Hildegard von Bingen, you know, the 12th century
Absolutely.
German composer.
Yeah, I mean, Hildegard was a huge influence on this album. And I you know, I was in a trio for many years called Modern Medieval, and we performed Hildegard quite a bit all
yep.
over the country. And
including for us on New Sounds Live.
Exactly,
yes.
I remember. So singing in that trio was hugely influential, actually, because performing Hildegard is one of the most intense physical experiences I think I've ever had. It just requires an amount of focus and concentration to sing completely in unison with other people and in an unmetered music. So you're just, I mean, yeah.
Right. There's no percussion track that's going to come in
exactly.
to lock you all in.
Exactly. It's just listening and feeling. And so I think I became really entranced by the idea, specifically with Hildegard, of how singing, especially with other people, is like an avenue for sort of like spirituality, you know, whatever that means to you, just sort of a transcendent, getting outside of sort of the thinking brain and getting into a sort of transcendent space. Because I felt that performing that music, I had a physical experience that I found very moving.
When I announced the title of the first live piece you did for us, I said intro one at a time. The actual title is Intro Liturgy.
Right, yeah.
One at a time.
Yes.
So right off the bat, there is at least an implied spiritual connection to this music.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's always very interesting when you bring in those traditions. You know, I'm Jewish, so I'm not even religious in that way, but I have spent a lot of my professional life singing sacred music. So I have a really strong relationship to it that I think of one that's like very, it's very musical and intuitive. But I do find it very moving in a way that I think I can relate to the sort of spiritual impulses behind it. And so, yes, intro liturgy, I think it's just a very interesting world to access, you know, it's so monumental. And like, I always love, and whenever we go to museums, I always love like all the medieval art, all the medieval religious iconography. But yes, I think it's really cool to sort of try and access what is like sort of maybe universally meaningful and universally moving about those traditions.
There's another tradition that at least I hear echoes of in the track called At the Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, when the other sounds come in,
yes,
they're very kind of gamelan-like.
I know what you're talking about. Those, I think those actually are sampled gamelans, the big clangings that
right,
come in.
Right, they kind of punctuate the line.
Oh my God,
the
yes, I were correct. I can't believe you picked up on that. That is amazing. Yes, those are gamelan samples that I downloaded from the internet.
What is the basic building block of patterns? Is it, I mean, there's a track called Plain Song,
right,
which seems to be rooted in just that medieval plain
yeah,
chant.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's Polyphony for Voices, which seems to be an absolute call out to those, you know, Victoria and
right.
Byrd and Tallis masses you were talking about.
Truly, that world was like the original impulse. So I started with a lot of drones on this album because that, you know, frankly, that's Hildegard uses a lot of drones.
Yep.
And so thinking more about, like, you know, how voices on top of a drone might relate to that, as opposed to thinking, like, there's a melody and there's a bass line and you have functional harmony and they move together. And so, yeah, Polyphony for Voices is really started as just, like, improvising over a drone. And then it sort of gets bigger and grander as it goes along. And actually, Zubin played quite a lot of trumpets on that. So that sort of features the trumpets and, like, but it's mostly voices. It's basically voices over a drone.
But it's also kind of getting into glitch electronica territory.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Certainly an interesting combination yeah. of sound worlds.
Well, Plain Song to me really does that because Plain Song, actually, that's not really something that I sang in the way that I sang a lot of the other ones. I sang a bunch of gestures, and then that's mostly created through just like, I just messed around and moving things around on Ableton, and then it became what it is. So Plain Song really is, to me, sounds like this strange mixture of glitch, chopped up, sort of like digital sounding thing with like, but the basic gesture is very medieval sounding.
Right, so Eliza, you have the computer and you're running Ableton, I assume.
Yes.
And what is the other thing that looks like a big chaos pad?
The other gizmo is an Ovation launch pad. I decided that I wanted the focus to be on the vocal and the vocal performance and the vocal manipulation and just have that be at the forefront. So this Novation Launchpad is basically just a series of buttons that trigger various vocal effects. So it's just, yeah, a vocal effect on, a vocal effect off, changing the very slight things in the delays. And I just got very attached to very, very specific processing things, like very, you know, the delays have to be timed so that
right.
they work with the tempos of the, it's like all very specific. So I decided I needed to have my original settings that were in Ableton. In order to do that, I had to be able to trigger them, so.
Okay, so let's put all that stuff to work. The album ends this way with rising mist into whirlpool, and let's hear a live performance from Eliza Bagg, a.k.a. Liesl, of this music from her album Patterns for Auto-Tuned Voices and Delay.
Thank you.
That is Rising Mist and Whirlpool from Liesl, the work of singer and composer Eliza Bagg. You'll find a version of that on her record Patterns for Auto-Tuned Voices and Delay, but that a live performance here in the studio. And Eliza, Rising Mist especially, that to me sounds like someone who has listened to a lot of Hildegard, a lot of
yes.
Hildegard von Bingen. It very much has that tone to it, that feeling.
Totally. I mean, even just basing the whole thing off of a ascending fifth, that's just like the cornerstone of all Hildegard. So and obviously the way I'm singing it too. But yeah, I mean, that goes back to what you were saying earlier about just the very, very pure tone.
Yeah. And that's sort of unusual. I mean, it's not unusual to find contemporary singers who also sing early music because
right.
the vocal style is, you know, it's that purity of tone.
Exactly.
But once you get into like 19th century, early 20th century opera with the wide vibrato, I mean, that's a different kind of singing, isn't it?
It's so specific. And the way I like to think about it is I appreciate all styles, you know. So when I see an amazing, you know, bel canto trained singer, I'm like, it is amazing that you can sing over an orchestra. I mean, that's
right.
why that style was developed, is because they literally had to sing louder than an orchestra.
Yeah.
So that is crazy, I think, and amazing. And I just think I am, as a performer and a creator, I think I'm more interested in the opposite thing, the nuance that's available to you when you have close mic. And so there, I find both of those color worlds fascinating and beautiful and rewarding. I'm just more interested in the sort of smaller sounds and the finely tuned brush that's available when you have like a mic, basically. Yeah.
Well, so this is what you're doing is a kind of a continuation of something that developed in the 1930s with crooning.
Oh,
I mean, what was crooning? That was people with access to a microphone.
Right. Oh my God.
Able
now
to sing over a band or an
right.
orchestra.
I love the idea that the point you just made, actually such a great one, because it's like the way our creative choices change because of the technology we have access to. It's like, it's so simple, but it's amazing how true that is. Now we don't only have mics, we also have auto-tune. We have many ways of processing our voices. And so I'm like, what are the possibilities there to develop new expressive ways of using this amazingly specific instrument?
The instrument belongs to Eliza Bagg, who records as Liesl when she's doing projects like this. The album is called Patterns for Auto-Tuned Voices and Delay. Eliza, great to see you again. Thank you so much for coming in and singing for us.
Thank you for having me.
Irene Trudell is our technical director. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Just text NEW SOUNDS to 70101.